If you would turn to Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. On page 859. And if you would turn also to Deuteronomy chapter 6. On page 151. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is the word of the Lord. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear, him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you. For the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you, and that you may go in and take possession of the good land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers, by thrusting out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has promised. When your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and grievous against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord. The temptation of Christ was necessary for your salvation. What Adam, the Son of God, failed to do, what Israel, the Son of God, failed to do, Jesus, the Son of God, the second and last Adam, did not fail to do. Where Adam became disobedient, tempted by the serpent, where Israel became disobedient, tempted in the wilderness, Christ became obedient. Tempted by the devil in the wilderness, Jesus did not give in to temptation. Tempted by the devil in the wilderness, Jesus did not sin. He became obedient in all things. He did the will of the Lord. And through his obedience, you have salvation. Your salvation was accomplished through the obedience of Christ. Your salvation was accomplished through the obedience of Christ, not your own, but Christ's. He was tempted for your sake. He was tempted in your likeness. The temptation of Christ was necessary for your salvation. And as in the garden with Adam, the temptation of Christ begins and ends with Satan questioning the Word of God. The temptation of Christ begins and ends with Satan questioning the goodness of God, questioning the purpose of God. If you are the Son of God, Satan is questioning the Word of God. Because God has just declared that Jesus is His Son. In His baptism, Luke chapter 3, verse 22, a voice came from heaven, "You are My beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The devil's words suggest an idea contrary to that word. That perhaps Jesus is not the Son of God. "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus has not eaten for 40 days. We know that He was hungry. The text says that He was hungry. The devil tempts Him in His hunger. "If you are the Son of God, why should you have to hunger?" Israel in the wilderness ate bread from heaven. Israel in the wilderness drank from the rock that followed them. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, the rock was Christ. The pre-incarnate Christ, He was in the wilderness with Israel. The pre-incarnate Son was with Israel in the wilderness, feeding them when they hungered, sustaining them when they grew weary. But now it is the incarnate Christ who is in the wilderness. Now it is the Christ who hungers. Now it is the Christ who is weary. "If you are the Son of God, speak to this stone that it may become bread." You fed others. Feed yourself. Jesus was tempted for your sake. Jesus hungered for your sake. The temptation of Christ in Luke chapter 4 is preparing Him for a greater temptation to come, when on the cross they will mock Him. Luke chapter 23, verse 35, "He saved others, let Him save Himself, if He is the Christ of God." But as in the wilderness, He entrusted Himself to the Lord, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." So also on the cross, He would entrust Himself to the Lord, saying, Luke chapter 23, verse 46, "Father, into Your hands I commit My spirit." Jesus was tempted for your sake. Jesus hungered for your sake. Jesus died for your sake. The temptation of Christ was necessary for your salvation. The second temptation is related to the first. If the first temptation concerns the accomplishment of your salvation, we may say that the second temptation concerns the reward of your salvation. The hope of your salvation, the inheritance of the Son of God. The devil took Him up and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to Him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to Me, and I give it to whom I will. It will all be yours." if you will worship me. Now here we may wonder whether the devil speaks truthfully. Is he offering something to Jesus that he can really give? Have the kingdoms of this world been delivered to Satan? Does he give their power and glory to whomever he will? We're inclined to say no, as we know that Satan is the great deceiver, that he is the father of lies. But on the other hand, as in the garden, his words are not entirely without truth, but they are rather a distortion of the truth. Have the kingdoms of this world been delivered to Satan? Does he give their power and glory to whomever he will? What do we read about the devil throughout Scripture? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, he is called the prince of the power of the air. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, he is called the God of this world. In John chapter 12, verse 31, he is called the ruler of this world. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, we read that the whole world lies in his power. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And in Revelation chapter 13, verse 2, we see the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan. We see him give his power and throne and authority to the beast, so that the whole world might worship him. The devil has great power in this world. There is truth in the words of his temptation. But there is also distortion. There is also deception. For he does not have that power by his own authority, but only by the permission of God. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Psalm 24, verse 1. And it is the Lord, Luke chapter 1, verse 52, that brings down the mighty from their thrones. It is the Lord that exalts those of humble estate. Whatever power and authority Satan possesses in this world, he does not exercise it apart from God, but only by the permission of God, by the permission of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. But even if the devil could give to Jesus all the kingdoms of this world, their power and glory, what is more important is this. He is offering to Jesus something that has already been promised him by God. The devil is offering to Jesus something that has already been promised to Jesus by God. Psalm 2, verses 7 and 8. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession." What Satan offers to Jesus has already been promised him by God. And unlike Adam, Jesus will not take those kingdoms for himself, but will ask for them from God. He does not take them for himself. He waits to receive it from God. And not only this, what Satan offers to Jesus, it is not something only that has been promised to Jesus by God, but it is far less than what has been promised to Jesus by God. What Satan offers to Jesus is far less than what has been promised him by God. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I saw in night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. What Satan offers is far less than the promised inheritance of the Son of God. For the inheritance promised to the Son of God is not the kingdoms of this world. The inheritance promised to the Son of God is not this world at all. It is the world to come. As he will say to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." In Deuteronomy chapter 6, which we read, the inheritance of the kingdom, the inheritance of the kingdom promised in Psalm 2, the inheritance of the kingdom promised in Daniel 7, the inheritance of this kingdom, it requires the worship of God alone, for that kingdom is God's alone to give. It cannot be taken. It must be received. And it can only be received from God alone. And so Jesus answers, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Jesus refuses to bow down and worship the devil. Jesus refuses to bow down and worship the devil so that he might inherit a kingdom far greater than the kingdoms of this world, so that he might inherit a power and glory far greater than the power and glory of this world. Jesus refuses to bow down and worship the devil that he might receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken, that he might receive a kingdom without end. A kingdom that belongs to Christ. A kingdom that has been given to Christ. And so a kingdom that belongs to you. A kingdom that will be given to you. In Daniel chapter 7, this kingdom, it is given to the Son of Man. But it is not only given to the Son of Man. It is given to the Son of Man that it might also be given to his people. It is given to Christ that it might also be given to you. Daniel chapter 7, verse 27. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Their kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey them. The kingdom of God has been given to Christ and to you who belong to Christ. But how did Christ inherit that kingdom? How did Christ receive that kingdom? He did not inherit that kingdom by taking to himself the kingdoms of this world, their power and glory, while he walked among us in this world. Christ inherited his kingdom through his suffering and death. Luke chapter 24, verse 26. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? For Christ to refuse the offer of Satan, it was for Christ to accept the sufferings of the cross. For that is how he entered his glory, not only for himself, but also for you. If Christ gained the kingdom through suffering and death, how will you, who are united to him, gain that kingdom? To refuse the offer of Satan, is to accept the sufferings of the cross. To refuse the offer of Satan is to take up the cross and follow Christ. Do you desire the kingdoms of this world? Are you anxious about their power and glory? Shall the church seek them? shall you strive after them. They are not your inheritance. They are not your reward. You have something greater. You have something better. A kingdom that cannot be shaken. A kingdom that shall not pass away. A kingdom that must be entered through death and resurrection. The outcome of an election is not your comfort and hope. The kingdom of Christ is your comfort and hope. Do not be anxious. Whatever happens in the days to come, all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to Christ. Whatever happens in the days to come, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ have come. Whatever happens in the days to come, Christ is working all things together for your good. And if you must suffer, whatever you suffer, it is not worth comparing to the glory to be revealed. Whatever you must lose, it is not worth comparing to what you will gain. Christ is for you. Christ is with you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. Let us pray.